Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
And it's called Blind Bartimaeus Receives His Sight. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but all the more, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So you heard a little bit about my the fact that I have to wear glasses. And I remember that it was in the third grade that, all my life I had just played and gone about my life and, you know, had never had to worry about seeing. But it was one day in third grade and I was sitting in the back row and it was time for our weekly art lesson. And the way they taught art back then, they had this closed circuit TV. So in each corner of the room, there were these two TVs, and they turned them on, and somewhere far away in the district office, they would send out the signal, and we would have these video lessons. Pretty state-of-the-art back in the 1970s. And I was super excited because our art teacher came on and she was saying, "Today we're going to have a drawing lesson and we're going to be drawing dinosaurs." Now, I don't know if anybody else in the room was excited about this, but I was way into dinosaurs in my second and third grade lifetime. This is one of those things where I think I was born before my time, because you'd go into the library and there were like four books on dinosaurs. You know, it just wasn't a big thing, you know. And then, of course, now they're everywhere and there are all kinds of books and TV shows and programs and movies. Yeah, before my time. But I was excited because, at last I'm going to get to learn how to draw all these dinosaurs that I love. And they got to the drawing pad, and the teacher started drawing, and I could not see what she was doing. I was frustrated. And I actually began to cry a little bit. And then I got mad, because at that moment, I wanted nothing more than to be able to see better, so that I could see what was going on, so that I could draw those dinosaurs. And guess what? It was a couple weeks later that I got my first pair of glasses. And that began my lifelong struggle to see properly. And I have to be honest, I've been lucky. My vision has been correctable. And I had enough income to undergo LASIK surgery at one time in my life, 20 years ago. No, yeah, well, 18 years ago. You know, and for a 15-year, 16-year window, I didn't have to wear glasses at all. But of course, you know, you get a little older, and sure enough, you have to get the glasses. And that's okay. That's okay. But you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, we had Steve from the choir come to Monday morning chapel. And Steve shared with the students of the Wesley School what it was like to lose your eyesight and to go blind. And I'm going to ask you that same question I asked the children. Can you imagine what it would be like to lose your sight? Can you imagine not being able to see your loved ones' faces again? Can you imagine having to navigate around your home? Can you imagine what it must be like to navigate around the neighborhood or to go to the store? What would you do? How would you engage in your life? What would you miss out on? In this morning's scripture reading, we encounter someone who has lost his sight and has gone blind. And his name is Bartimaeus, a beggar sitting on the road outside of Jericho. And most likely he's sitting among a large group of beggars, and they would sit at the entrance of cities, and they would beg. And they'd call out to people as they set forth from the city to go out on their business. And if you've ever been to a developing country or a third world country, you understand what I mean when I would say it is a group of beggars calling out. Anyways, Jesus and his disciples, they're heading forth from Jericho. They're exiting the city and they're going to Jerusalem. And as they leave Jericho, the word is probably being passed among the beggars about who is, you know, someone's coming. Oh, this is a caravan. They're giving information about who might be coming down the road. And the word comes to Bartimaeus. Jesus of Nazareth, the wandering rabbi and healer. He's coming. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And as he gets this word, he stands up. And he begins to shout with all his might, "Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me." And the people around him begin to tell him, "Quiet down. Hey, Bart, shut your pie hole. Sit down." But this doesn't stop him. Instead, he keeps out crying even more and more loudly to Jesus. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And you know what? It works. Jesus hears him. And maybe he hears him because he's crying something different from the rest of them. The rest of them asking for alms, for a handout, for money, for food. Bartimaeus stands up and is essentially saying, "Messiah, Savior, have mercy on me." So Jesus stops and asks for this blind beggar to be brought to him. And so Bartimaeus springs up and he throws off his cloak and he makes his way before Jesus, who then asks him a very interesting question. "What do you want me to do for you?" And if you were in Bartimaeus' spot, what would you say? How would you answer that question? Seriously. If you were to kneel down and call out to God and you looked up and suddenly God is standing there and God asks you, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you say? How would you answer? And for some of us, it might be easy. We may have that one thing that we have been praying for over days, weeks, and years that has been tearing at our soul. Or like Bartimaeus, we may have something that we would like to be healed of. Or we may have something that we would like to have restored. Maybe there's a relationship that we would like to have repaired. Or we may want a new job or to have a financial breakthrough. But honestly, knowing what we really want can be difficult sometimes. In fact, when it comes to prayer, there are many people who find it easier to present someone else's prayer request than to make a request for themselves. But notice that Jesus doesn't give Bartimaeus the space to make that kind of a request. He doesn't say, "Bartimaeus, what are you praying for? Who are you praying for?" He says, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus knows precisely what he is going to ask for. He wants to see again. He doesn't want money to make sure that he is provided for. Instead, what he wants is to rejoin in all that life has to offer. He wants to rejoin in the life that he once had. He wants to rejoin in opportunities that he does not have in first century Palestine. There's no American Disabilities Act at this time. In fact, there still isn't if you go to Israel. Bartimaeus wants to see colors and shapes and faces and smiles and the wonders of clouds in the sky and the wonder of creation. He wants to be able to move about, to go from city to city. Jesus hears his request, and notice what he says. He tells, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately Bartimaeus regains his sight. But I want you to notice, what does Bartimaeus do? Jesus tells him to go on his way, and instead he follows Jesus. He joins in this caravan of disciples and followers and students that are traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem. He gets up and he follows Christ on the way to Jerusalem. Remember, he gave that messianic cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The mercy is that he might join in with whatever it is that Jesus is going to do in Jerusalem. Now let's bring it back to you. Are you still sitting there trying to decide what you would like Jesus to do for you? Are you still thinking about what it would be like if you opened up your eyes and God was standing there and says, all right, what do you want me to do for you? And in light of the scripture lesson, I'm thinking maybe we need to reframe the question a bit. Maybe we should be thinking, what do I need so I can follow Jesus into a more faithful, more full and abundant life? Really, what's gonna get you to stand up and get off the side of the road to join in with the caravan? What is going to help you to see life and the world better? Where have you gone blind? And if we couch it this way, it becomes a little easier to be bold in what we ask for. The scope of possibilities begins to narrow, and the purpose of our lives becomes clearer. And our prayers begin to change because our hearts begin to change. Our hearts will begin to change. And you know what? They need to. Something is wrong in our nation and in our world. Between the bombs mailed to politicians and the shooting in the synagogue in Pittsburgh, it's been a tough week. These kinds of acts remind us that God's work in this world is not complete. They remind us that God's reign is not yet fulfilled. And over the last several years, we have seen this kind of violent hate boiling up in our society. And if I may be frank, I believe that we, as the followers of Christ and as children of God, are being called to be a part of the healing that needs to take place in our world and in our nation. Somehow, some way, we are being called to be healers and peacemakers in an angry world. You see, thoughts and prayers are not enough. We're going to have to get up from the side of the road. We're going to have to get on our feet. And we need to cease being beggars. And we need to rejoin the caravan of Christ as it marches to the cross. Are we going to get up off the side of the road? will the prayers that we bring before Christ help us to get off of the side of the road and on our way with Christ? I'm going to ask you to indulge me for a moment. We're going to do what is called an Ignatian exercise. Now, this comes from St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of the great spiritual writers of the church. And he came up with this exercise as a way for his monks to use their imagination in prayer. And this is a form of Christian prayer that may be unfamiliar to you, but it's been a part of the church for centuries across the globe. And I'd like you to join in with me. So I'm going to take you through a little exercise. I need you to put your feet down on the floor. We sometimes do this on Monday mornings. All right? And I need you to sit nice and straight. Get nice and straight. Put your hands in your lap. And I want you to close your eyes. I want you to take a couple of deep breaths. Another one. And I want you to imagine going to your special place of prayer, the place where nobody interrupts you, the place where you feel safe, the place where you know that God is. I want you to hear the sounds of that space. To see the colors of that space. Feel the ground beneath you. In your mind's eye, I invite you to imagine yourself kneeling down. And you begin to pray. You begin by greeting God. You give him thanks. You ask that God would be present. That God would grant you mercy. I want you to imagine opening your eyes and Jesus is standing in front of you. Whatever your Jesus looks like, that he'd be standing there in front of you. You look into his eyes, and he looks into yours. And you hear him say, "What you want me to do for you?" Feel safe. I want you to imagine what you would say to him. Jesus smiles at you, nods and turns, and he begins to walk away from you. I want you to imagine yourself getting up and following him. Holy God, we have come before you in prayer. We trust that you have heard these prayers, and we ask that we would be faithful in receiving your response. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.
In this world, I walk alone, with no place to call my home. But there's one who holds my hand, the rugged road through barren lands. The road is dark, the road is steep. The strength to climb, my griefs to bear, the Savior lives inside me there. In your love I find release, a haven from my unbelief. Take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God, to thee. In these trials of life I find another voice inside my mind. He comforts me and bids me live inside the the Father gives. In your love I find release, a haven from my unbelief. Take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God, to thee. Take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God.
Go from one special offering to another. It's at this time I would invite the family of Wyatt Everson Gerds to come forward as we celebrate the Holy Sacrament of Baptism. Yep, I want you guys to stand right there. And be. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. You may follow along in the hymnals at page 39. And I present to you right now Wyatt Everson Gerds for baptism. Now, Cole and Tristan, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of the world, and repent of your sin. You accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms that they present themselves. You confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. And will you nurture Wyatt in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. Now, for the godparents over here, Dustin and Catherine, will you support and encourage Wyatt in his Christian life? Will you be a good example and a trusted confidant for him? And for you, the church, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child before you now into your care?
With God's help, he will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. We're going to skip to the Thanksgiving over the water. And as we get to this place, I have a little vial with me that has been with water that has been brought from the River Jordan. We're going to pour this into the bowl. If I can get the lid off. It reminds us that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, and Wyatt will also have these waters mingled in with his baptismal water. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark water and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved through those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. Sing to the Lord, all of the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his work to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless his gift of water and the one who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns and reigns forever.
Amen.
May I have the child? Hi, how you doing, Wyatt? How you doing, buddy? Hey, you're a strong one. All right. So I'm going to invite you to gather around a little closer here. Wyatt Everett, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite each of you to dip your hands into the water as well, and we say this little prayer over him. We're going to all put our hands on him, okay? Okay, take your hand. All right? May the Holy Spirit be at work within you, Wyatt, that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may grow to be a faithful disciple of Christ. Now it is with great joy that we welcome our new brother in Christ, Wyatt Everett Gerd. You can applaud. All right. Now, there's a little piece that you're supposed to say in the ceremony, okay? Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of God. Members of the household of God, I commend Wyatt and family to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministry.
Amen. At the end of the service, I'm going to have everybody up at the front doors there for you to greet the baby as you exit the worship today. So, again, we welcome you and him into our family. Amen. All right, there you go. You're welcome. Oh, and before you go, we have his baptismal candle, a little Bible, and a certificate. And I'm going to give this over to you guys.
All right.
All right.
We now come to a time of announcements, but with that song and that baptism, I'm all choked up, so bear with me. Oh, I'd like to draw your attention to the back of the bulletin, where you can find the week schedule and the altar flower dedications. Also, take a look at the inserts, and I will highlight these for you. Trunk or Treat is tomorrow, so if you are a participant, please check your email for the event day instructions and your parking pass. I can't catch my breath. Only the trunk hosts will be allowed to park in the south lot, and we will be entering through the Bachman Gate. The Tahunga Gate will be blocked off. We kindly ask for you to park in the neighborhood and walk up to our event, which begins at 5 p.m., and it's going to be a spooktacular event. I know. Patty wrote these jokes for me. Next Sunday, November 4th at 4 p.m., the California Chamber Quartet will perform here in our sanctuary. We will be blessed with a concert of French music, and you were given a little taste of what you will hear next Sunday during the offertory today, and we thank Dr. Geeting for sharing her piece with us. On Sunday, November 11th, Community Sunday is coming. Mark your calendars and please come for a worship that will include special performances from the Synchronicity Bell Choir, Evergreen Music Conservatory, the Wesley School Kindergarten, that's my classes, and they are performing with Eddie Faulkner, and then the fourth grade class, which is Henry's class. Our chancel choir will also have a special performance, and the best part is following worship, we will have a mission project that collaborates with the Wesley School. We're asking for volunteers from the church and the scouts to join us in the school quad to assemble 200 sack lunches for the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry. Other people's favorite part is that we have refreshments from Harvest Moon, and then also the Methodist Women's Holiday Boutique. So lots of great stuff on November 11th. Our church is in charge of bringing 10 loaves of sandwich bread, so if you can help donate with that, let Patty know in the office. Okay. And the last thing to say is that the Charlie's memorial services are taking place this week. Thank you. Friday, November 4th at 4 p.m. There will be a viewing at Valhalla Memorial Cemetery. And Friday, November 2nd. And on Saturday, November 3rd at 1 p.m., the funeral will be here in the sanctuary. And there'll be a burial and a graveside service at Valhalla at 2:30 p.m. Thank you for listening to those announcements. Okay. Oh, sorry, there's another part. With these things in our hearts and minds, let us conclude our morning's worship by standing, if you are able, and singing our closing hymn, number 452 in the red hymnal, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
As we prepare to go forth from here, I do want to remind you that we do have coffee and refreshments available in the lounge, which is to the north of us, to my right, to your left. After the service, as you make your way, we hope to meet and greet you over there. We hope that you've registered your attendance with us in the red attendance booklets there in the pews. But as we go forth, may the Spirit of Christ fill us and remove our blinders, that we may be a part of the healing that He desires to bring to our world. Go in peace and go in power. Amen.